You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Wednesday's Racing Podcast. My name is Jack and I'm delighted to be joined by Andy Holding. Good afternoon, Andy.
Afternoon, Jack.
It's unusual to have you here in the flesh.
Face to face,
yeah. We're down a phone line. But, you know, it's nice to be here and we're going to have a look at four good races. But first, the news making the front of the Racing Post on Tuesday was about the Irish Derby.
Yeah, a lot of punters seem to be wising up to the fact that US Army Ranger might have conditions in his favour come the weekend as it stands. I think it's riding on the soft side, looking at the reports, and they've obviously had quite a bit of rain around in the County Kildare area. But given that Harzand had his perfect conditions in the Derby, maybe US Army Ranger didn't, as he proved at Chester, he's much better on a better surface. There could well be a turnaround in form, but that is obviously the way that punters are reacting. It should be a great class because obviously we've got Idaho in there as well, who was close up in the Derby himself. And let's not totally forget Red Verdon, who has still got to be supplemented at time of recording, but the vibes are that he will make the gig and go over to Ireland to take his chance. He was a £75,000 supplement in the English Derby, and that might have well paid off to a better tune than sixth had he not met trouble in running. And having had a vested interest in him myself, I can vouch for the fact that it was agony watching the last three furlongs with Sylvester D'Souza trying to find a run up the inside rail that was never going to materialise. Currently, it's at the time of recording as well, it's 59 entries, but I think there's only going to be a handful lining up on the day itself. And I think the main protagonists, the ones we mentioned, are likely to fight out the finish again.
Well, it's just come through actually on the Racing Post website as we recorded. Dermot Weld says his intention remains to allow Harzand to line up in Saturday's Irish Derby, but has warned that the Derby winner has not had the easiest of times since his Epsom victory. Well, that's good news that he's going. The way Dermot Weld's speaking there, sounds like there may have been a moment where they thought about pulling him out.
Yeah, well, there was a moment right on the eve of the race itself, wasn't it, in the Derby, that they were going to pull him out. I think he had some problem with an abscess or pus in his foot, and he was they had to sort of like soak his foot in water or something like that, or in ice or something, ice bucket, to kind of calm it down. It was something along those lines anyway. So he was lucky to get there on the day, and you know, they've kind of like got lucky with him once. I'm not sure they want to go to the well with him if there's anything slightly amiss. You know, there are other big races throughout the season, obviously Arc de Triomphe right at the back end of the year, you know, possibly dropping back in trip to the Champion Stakes in Ireland. That's another option for them. So it's not all be all and end all, albeit they want to obviously defend their crown in a race which obviously is very close to Dermot's heart. But it looks a cracking race on paper. And it's one of the big races I'm looking forward to this coming Saturday.
Yeah, should be a really good race. Looking forward to that. We've finished with Royal Ascot now. It probably seems like a lifetime ago for some people, but the horse that finished third in Hardwick Stakes, Almodovar, news has come through today that he could be aimed at the Judmont International Stakes at York.
Yeah, that would seem a viable option for Dave Lanigan's Charge. He was one of the few horses on the round track that week that made the running and still stayed there. It was quite a difficult task to do, particularly in strongly run race. You could get away with it like Swordfighter did when they went slowly and you kicked off the front, but largely speaking, if they went a good gallop like they did in the Hardwick, it paid to be off the pace. So I think you've got to upgrade his performance in finishing third and a close-up third at that. And considering he's very lightly raced and up to more improvement, then the best is still probably yet to come from this horse. Dropping back down in trip as well, a mile 2.5 should be absolutely ideal. And the galloping nature of York should suit him. So, I'm not sure what price he is in the anti-post markets for that race, but he's got to be on the shortlist.
Yeah, well, I'll have a look shortly. But, David Lanigan's saying exactly the same as you there, Andy, saying that he believes the slight drop in distance will show him in an even better light.
Well, yeah, that's the theory anyway. Yeah, he's one of a multitude of horses that I kind of like marked up from the raw meeting, having run well against the bias. And like I say, there were some races where you needed to be off the pace because they went really quick up front, and other races where you couldn't make ground from the back because they've gone slowly. So I've made one or two notes, and he was definitely highlighted in one of my pink fluorescent pens.
Excellent. Good to see your highlighters getting
full use. Well and truly, yeah, they've daubing all over the page.
But they're worn out after last
week. They were, absolutely, yeah.
So that's good news for our Modavar and for David Lanigan. We will look out for that. Also good news, I suppose, for the race that clashed with England against Wales last Thursday. Many predicted that, bets would be going elsewhere, perhaps on the football. A couple of races suffered early on, but the Gold Cup prevailed and was the best-backed event of Royal Ascot.
Yeah, I think the fact that we had a very competitive Gold Cup certainly helped matters. Competitive in the sense we had a lot of runners. Obviously, we had a short prize favourite, but it was the big race of the week. It's still classed as the race that kind of like, you know, centres around the whole meeting. It's the big showpiece. Obviously, the Queen was there as well. It was a big crowd. I think it was nearly 70,000 there. And everyone likes the Gold Cup winner, don't they? Despite the football being on, the turnover was still good. Looking at the rest of them down the list, the big Saturday race, even though there's only 9 runners as well, a less competitive race than usual, comes out second top. And surprising as well, looking at them, they're all the main conditions races, the Group 1s. You'd imagine one or two of the handicaps would have a bigger turnover because punters like to get involved in the races like the Woking, the Hunt Cup, and the Britannia and races like that. But, in order it goes Gold Cup, Diamond Jubilee, Coronation, St James's Palace, Commonwealth Cup, suggesting that punters do like to bet in the races where they've got more of a chance. And obviously with the bookmakers and concessions as well offering quarter the odds in these races, it's a massive, massive incentive to get involved in those. And they've definitely voted with their betting slips, as we can see on the chart.
Yeah, the stats are all in Tuesday's Racing Post. But good at Royal Ascot, and there'll be no football to clash with it next year. So
there won't, no, there won't. It was difficult to keep in touch with both. I remember having 2 screens on, one with the football, one with the racing, and for the first time it was quite difficult to tear me away from the action. Yeah. On the racing with the England game on. But yeah, sometimes you think you're better off watching the racing, not going through the pain and the agony of watching the England football team like we did last night.
Because I remember speaking to you earlier last week and you saying you had Royal Ascot, then you had evening meetings across Ireland.
That's
as
right.
Well, did you actually leave your sofa at any point?
I think I walked the dog, I think, yeah, and said a little brief hello to the missus and then went back into the cubbyhole. Okay. I think
she knows you're still alive.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, as long as she just checks and I'm keeled over.
It's all over now, and we're going to have a look at some races on. Some decent stuff, actually.
Yeah.
Some good handicaps. We're going to start then with the 3 o'clock at Carlisle. It's a Class 4 race, and it's a rather large field here. There's 17 going to post. This should be a decent betting heat.
Yeah, I would imagine so, Jack. Obviously, at the time of writing, we still haven't got the first shows, but the one I'm going to select, I imagine he'll be quite high up on the lists towards the top of the market. That's Just Be Lucky, number 2 on the race card. Trained by Ivan Furtado, of course, making his name throughout the last year or two, rookie trainer, and he's done really well with this horse of late. He comes out really well on my speed figures. He posted a good number when he won at Haydock a couple of starts ago, travelling really strongly behind a strong pace set up by Chosen Character, and then he went to Wetherby under a penalty 4 days later, and he got the job done in pretty comfortable fashion, I think winning with a bit more in hand than the official margin suggests. He's subsequently gone up £5, but I'm not sure that's enough to stop this horse, who obviously is in great form. Clearly he wants a strong pace. Big field should be absolutely fine. He's got a great draw as well, Trap 1, right round the inside, so he shouldn't be losing any ground. And we know he's got a nice kick finish as well. So the only thing I slightly can't work out is why he's got eye shield on for the first time, or eye blinkers are there on the Racing Post. He's had the cheek pieces on before and visors, but trying a different set of headgear, which is a little bit disconcerting, I suppose. But it's not as if he's coming here off the back of poor performances. If it's not broke, don't fix it kind of thing. But anyway, he's the choice in the first of the big handicaps at Carlisle.
Yeah, the form figures look pretty good next to his name. To the left of the name, 33411. Look pretty decent to me. Just Be Lucky, the selection in the 3 o'clock at Carlisle. 35 minutes later then, there's another decent race at the Northern Track. The Carlisle Bell Handicap, again a Class 4. £18,000 on offer here to the winner. But who will it be?
Another rookie trainer has got a decent chance of landing a nice pot here. In the shape of Muntadab from the David Lochnane stable. He sprung to prominence early on in the season when he won at Doncaster on softish ground. He then ran a smashing race behind a horse of Sir Michael Stoudt called Darshini at Chelmsford. That was a good effort on the figures. His best effort, funny enough, on my numbers was at Beverley when he got beat by Roussillon from the David O'Mara stable. Roussillon went on, of course, to run really nicely the next time out at Haydock in a competitive race won by I Slice. That form looks pretty handy. He didn't quite get the trip there last day at Newcastle. Stiff track, of course, on the all-weather surface. That track seems to be working out really nicely. Lots of good races so far up there. And the race won by Tordilla was a really good one. And Munter Harper's third in it. He travelled well, but that last two furlongs up the stiff uphill climb just paid for him in the latter stages, and he had to settle for third at the end. But dropping back to a strongly run mile, which he's likely to get here, again from a favourable low draw, I'd expect Munter Harper to at least cement his decent place figures at the moment, having always finished in the frame. Or being there about in his last four starts.
Okay, Munter Harper. The selection then for Andy in the 3:35 at Carlisle. Another decent race, as we said, on a decent card on Wednesday. At 4:40 Carlisle is the Cumberland Plate. And again, a decent prize figure. And again, a big field, which is good to see.
Absolutely, yeah. A maximum field. Hopefully they'll all stand the ground and we can get each way betting four places, which is very important. You don't want a horse to finish fourth when there's only 15 runners. That's a bit of a killer. And again, another consistent horse I'm going to go for here, Jack, in the shape of Master Paver. He won a couple of back-to-back races at Haydock in the middle of May, or towards the back end of May. And then he went to York the other day for that amateur rider ladies race. And he showed up really prominently at that race. He finished second, got beat a half length by Snoano, but that doesn't really tell the whole story. There was a real Herculean gallop on from the start, and he, along with three others, went hell for leather in the early stages. A suicidal gallop. And the ones that have cut out the early running with him all dropped away and finished right towards the back of the field, the likes of York Kid and Simon Manuel. They were waving the white flag at the three furlong pole. But this Master Paver kept galloping all the way to the line, to his great credit. And the fact that he still managed to finish at least 2.5 lengths clear of the rest of the field shows he's in really good order. Hopefully with a little bit more of a conservative ride on this occasion from Tony Hamilton, then I think he's got to go very, very close here this afternoon. Of course, he's drawn in trap one as well, which is a good stall position, because you want to be around the inside and saving ground in the early part of the race. Master Pavey's just in an unbelievably good nick at the moment. That race at York showed he is, and I expect another big run from him tomorrow.
Yeah, Richard Fahey's five-year-old Master Paver, the selection in the 4:40 at Carlisle for Andy. Right, we're going to move to do another race at a different venue after those three races at Carlisle. We're heading to Salisbury, so we're going south for the 3:45, which is a handicap, and it's over the 1 mile and four. And this is a much shorter field, but how do you see this one panning out?
Yeah, it's quite an untraditional small field here for this. It's usually got a race that's got at least a double figure field in it, but it doesn't mean to say that we're lacking in quality. We've got three or four winners coming here in great order, the likes of Rex Bell, Master Blue Eyes, The Graduate, and he shook into the mix mainstream. And at least we've got a bit of quality attached to this prestigious race. Obviously, Master Blue Eyes comes under the spotlight, being trained by Alan King. Alan King, of course, had a breakthrough winner at the Raw meeting when the King George hero was Primitivo. And he's got another nice three-year-old stay in the making here in the shape of this horse. Master Blue Eyes has won his last two starts in game fashion as well last time at Chester, fighting off all comers in the latter stages. I'm sure he'll go well. But the one I quite like here is Mainstream. Now, he's not quite as straightforward as some of these. He has his quirks. He can be a little slowly away from the stalls, as he was two starts ago, and he looked as though he'd completely given away his chance. But he got back into the race that day and won quite snugly. He wasn't quite good enough to cope with Red Verd and co last time at Haydock, but that would have been a bridge too far for him. But I do like the fact that he's won round the track. And if he can just break a little bit more cleanly, then I think he's got a big, big chance of this. Ryan Moore's been booked, which is obviously a major positive. He'll no doubt get the best out of him. So Mainstream, he's one of the few course winners in the race, and I think that can count for a lot.
Yeah, Mainstream, one of two course winners in the field for Sir Michael Stoudt and Ryan Moore. That's the selection for Andy in the 3:45 at Salisbury. So you've heard all of the previews, and of course you can hear all of the podcasts on the news page of the William Hill website. You can also hear Andy regularly on William Hill Racing Radio, and he is I was about to say the star of the Irish racing podcast as well.
Yeah, I think I'm doing NACE tomorrow night. I think there's two domestic meetings and one Irish show. That means that people that want to tune into the Irish podcast can do so probably early tomorrow morning.
Yes, and he always puts up selections in every single race whenever there's a meeting on over in Ireland. And you can find them all. Subscribe to them at audioboom.com. Click on the William Hill racing page there. Andy, thank you for your company.
No problem at all, Jack. Pleasure.
Enjoy the afternoon's racing, and we'll speak to you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.